Welcome, everybody, and happy Friday. We made it through another week. Whew! Boy, I feel like we're really earning these as the months tick by here, folks. And of course, it is Friday, which means it is Free Ticket Friday here across the Civic Media Radio Network, where all day long you can get entered to win free tickets in the Civic Media Club level seats to see our Miracle Milwaukee Brewers playing. The tickets we're giving away today will be for September 3rd at 6:40. That's a Wednesday. That's September 3rd at 6:40. They'll be playing the Phillies. And remember, if you want to get entered to win, you have to text the word to win via our app. So go get that app down and download it now from wherever you get your apps for. It's free. And before this segment is done, I will be dropping that word to win on Free Ticket Friday. With that, I want to welcome my friend, my former colleague, and former City of Milwaukee Alderman, now Assemblyman, Representative Bob Donovan. Bob, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, Maggie, it's good to hear from you. Many fond memories of the old days in Milwaukee. So
of the old days, you were still with the city when I started working for the city, as well as you were still with the city for like the year that I overlapped with my dad, where my dad was still in the comptroller's office and I was in the city attorney's office. You had the dawn on the fiscal end and the dawn on the legal end. Boy,
good memories. Your dad was just a fabulous guy to work with, as you were. And
thank you.
A lot of good people that we worked with over the years.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed and respected my time at the city. And we're going to talk about one of the things that you became known for when you were an alderman, which was basically like Mr. Constituent Relations, your neighborhood walks. We're going to get to that. But I want to start out with your current position and a piece of bipartisan legislation that I have to say I am left scratching my head as to why this puppy can't get across the finish line. This is a bill to aid recruiting and training at very, very small police departments across our state. Tell us more about the bill, Bob, and its prospects, why you think it might have run into some headwinds.
Well, it's certainly a bill that I support wholeheartedly. I know Clint had reached out last session. Unfortunately, it was late in the process, so we weren't able to move it forward. This go around, we were hopeful that it would move forward. It was a bill that makes sense. I know the recruiting of police officers is a real challenge, and the training, the costs involved. So this would have impacted very, very small police departments throughout the state. I certainly supported it. Why it didn't move forward, well, that's anyone's guess. I had about 10 budget motions that I tried to move forward, this, of course, being one of them. Five were accepted, five weren't. So
batting 500 on budget amendments, pretty good record, Bob.
I was pleased with that, but I wish we could have gotten some of the other ones over the finish line, this being one of them. I intend on bringing it up next session if I am reelected, and would be my hope that that would be the case and that we could move forward with this.
Folks, again, this is State Representative Bob Donovan. He represents the Greenfield area. The bill that we're talking about is a bipartisan bill jointly proposed by Representative Clinton Anderson. We talked to Clinton earlier this week. Bob, State Senator Jesse James, and State Senator Brad Paff. It would allocate a measly, in state budget terms, a measly $4 million to help with recruitment and police academy training for law enforcement offices across the state with less than 25 officers, sworn officers in their ranks. So these are very, very, very small departments. Again, law enforcement recruiting and just the ranks of sworn officers are at the lowest that they have been in decades, not just here in Wisconsin, but across the country. But this, to me, again, there's just a minimum level of officers that you need in certain areas. And I, as I said to Representative Anderson, Representative Donovan, I am fully able and willing to have what I think can be challenging conversations about trying to rebuild the relationship of trust between police officers and police departments and communities. And like, we can have that conversation, and we can also acknowledge that there may be a shortage of officers in some departments, right? That we can have these difficult or nuanced conversations and understand that one issue doesn't necessarily, you know, forestall the need, that there's an actual need for bodies to fill these positions in some of these smaller departments, especially the training element.
Yeah.
You know, if you are more inclined towards the police reform and trying to help with interventions and violence reduction, well, gee whiz, I certainly would want well-trained officers that are on the street, and being sure that rural communities, just like some of our larger communities, have trained officers from the police academies and elsewhere, is a good thing for policing writ large, in my opinion. But Bob, you've been a long time elected official, and I talked with Representative Anderson because he is a very young man, joined the Beloit Council and then moved on to be an assembly person. You have a different experience being a common council member and alderman here in the city of Milwaukee, and then moving on to be an assembly person as well. And I just wanted to, you were well known, I would say famous, for constituent relations, as well as your neighborhood walks. Tell us why literally pounding the pavement and breakfast at Miss Katie's and getting to see your constituents, why these things were such a part of who you were and are as an elected official.
Well, you know, I will tell you, Maggie, the interesting thing about it, if you were to look at the job description for an alderman, there really isn't much to it. It's what you make of it. Mm. And I felt that I wanted, and it was my responsibility, to ensure to the best of my ability that my district was well run, efficient, responsive to the concerns of our constituents. And we tried our best to be proactive. We engaged with the private sector, small businesses, believe it or not, in raising funds through the private sector, our Operation Impact, that used those funds to help pay overtime for officers to walk beats in the neighborhood, to get to know the people that they're protecting. That was an excellent program. We also used those funds to pay for surveillance cameras and lighting. More lighting in our alleys. So it was all done through the private sector. So there was no property tax monies involved. But I think that was important, that we show a concern and a commitment to addressing as many of those problems. And, you know, I've always felt local government is where the rubber meets the road. It's where the people, you're closest to the residents, their concerns are important. If we would get a call on an issue, we would do our best to solve that problem, take care of it, try and be as proactive, and addressing concerns before they became full-blown problems out of control that then you really can't wrap your arms around. So we tried to be as proactive as possible. Our neighborhood walks was one component of that, and people loved it. I got to tell you this.
Everybody knew who you were in your district. I mean, everybody knew who Bob Oh, there's Bob. And they'd come out and they'd tell you what wasn't going right and this light that was out. I mean, I know how that worked. I saw you in your neighborhood a few times talking with constituents. This wasn't just a made-up marketing ploy for election time.
Yeah,
you were out
absolutely.
There every week.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I used to religiously go to George Webb's restaurant on 21st and Mitchell every morning, get a cup of coffee, read the paper, and then head into City Hall. And it got to the point, Maggie, that I would receive calls from constituents there.
At the web. At the George Webb.
Phone. Webb's on Mitchell. Oh, yeah, he's here. Hold on. Bob, it's for you. And but that's fine. And that was, I think, important. And I do have to tell you this, though. This was good. We were doing a neighborhood walk, and we were on the corner of 26th and Lapham. You're familiar with the area on the near south side of Milwaukee. And an older woman steps out on her front porch, and she yells to us, "Hey, Bob, come on over and write us up. It's the only way the old man does anything." And her husband was the old man. We wrote them up because the porch needed painting. And sure enough, the next week it was painted. So...
That's a one of one where a constituent's like, would you please have the building inspections or the Department of Neighborhood Services give me a citation? I've literally never heard of that one before. Oh, that's funny. Oh, yes. I know that neighborhood well, playing a lot of softball games as a kid on those fields over by Burnham and Lapham. Know that very, very well. You talked briefly as we were getting ready about trying to be proactive. I think there's sometimes a tendency, if people don't come into these offices with a clear set of these are my three or four core issues and this is what I want to do, to end up being sort of a complaint repository, right? The aldermen get the complaints and then we do something. You really tried to be quite proactive. That was the purpose of your community walks. Tell me a little bit about that. We got about a minute left.
Yeah, I would say you're absolutely right. If you don't have a vision or a plan or an idea to address the concerns before they get out of hand, all you're doing as an alderman then is reacting to complaints from residents. So crime was a big issue. Before I ran for alderman, I was, as you know, very active in a number of community organizations in my area. So I knew the issues. And yes, crime was a big concern. Order maintenance is so critical to the stability of a neighborhood. So we worked hard to do all of those things.
Bob's going to stick around for another segment because I want to talk to him about the differences between being a city alderman in the state's largest municipality and what it's like to be in state government. We're going to also discuss the city then, back when Bob and I was there, and the city now. We got all that coming up for you. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Assemblyman Bob Donovan of Greenfield. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday. And because it's Friday here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, that means it is Free Ticket Friday, and I have got your word to win. I know you've got that Civic Media app downloaded and ready to go. So here's your word to be qualified to win four club-level tickets to the Brewers versus the Philadelphia Phillies. I still don't understand the mascot. I have to be honest. What is that thing? I digress. Four tickets on the club level to the Brewers versus the Phillies on Wednesday, September 3rd at 6:40. The word to win this hour is radio, as in you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, R-A-D-I-O, radio. Text that in, get entered to win. And with that, I will welcome back to the show my current guest, Representative Bob Donovan, an assemblyman from Greenfield. He served in Milwaukee County's Common Council. How many years were you on the council, Bob?
I was 20 years. I was first elected in 2000 and served till April of 2020 as a Milwaukee alderman.
And over that period of time, listen, I have advocated for term limits in different circumstances. I know, one of your colleagues in the assembly actually introduced a term limit bill. But I do want to say this when it comes to term limits. There is an unquestionable knowledge, especially on the legislative side, that is gained over a long tenure about how that unit of government actually works, the functions of the different departments, how that unit of government interacts with state government and feds and the counties or other municipalities, especially when it comes to governmental budgeting.
Right.
Which is not the same as it is in the private sector. It is almost, it's basically its own unique thing, as well as, again, that familiarity with your constituents. In the break, Bob, I was just saying to you how much I respect elected officials that have done the job as you did at the city. That is to say, out there in the community, true understanding of how the city works, true understanding of government budgeting, of how we can partner with the private sector to address community concerns. And I just wondered, you can have such a direct impact as an alderperson, as an alderman, as a councilman, especially here in Milwaukee. It's a little more removed when you get to the state level. And I wanted to ask you, you were a very effective, I think, much beloved alderman because people knew who you were, knew how to get a hold of you, and you wanted to solve problems. What's it like, the difference between being an alderman and now being an assembly person in the state legislature? Pros and cons, Bob.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it is different. And, you know, I will say this, when I was alderman, and I still believe wholeheartedly that local government is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
It's the closest government entity to the people. You have an opportunity to be out in your district every day, talking to constituents, fielding their complaints, and seeing things for themselves. And it's every issue from I've got a drug house down the block to potholes on my street to we need a stop sign on the corner, to my garbage wasn't picked up, to the street lights don't work at night.
Yeah.
And a lot of things like that, that really, when you think about it, can, if you're doing your job, deal with quickly.
Yes.
You can call the department and hopefully that same day the garbage is picked up. Yep. That following night, the streetlights are taken care of and they're working. Yes, you can legislate and quickly, usually, if you're doing your job right, within a month, get a stop sign put up on that corner. You know, so all of those things can happen quickly. It's a little different in state government. And believe me, I'm learning that as we go along, because nothing works as fast as I would like it to work. And in Milwaukee, it was easier. I could get on the phone and call the commissioner of public works and tell him, hey, I need this done. I need this taken care of, or talk to the supervisor just like that. And they can take care of it. And I would do all of those things. In the state, it's a little different.
Yeah,
and you may have to go through a couple people to even connect with that secretary.
Yeah, the right person. I will constantly tell people, if you feel a bit disenchanted with government, get involved again in your local government, the smallest unit of government to you. Attend a committee hearing about something that's important to you if you can. Many, many, many jurisdictions now have them online, so you don't even have to come into the room. But I recommend doing that if you are fortunate enough to be able to do that, to introduce yourself to your alderman or alderwoman and to get to know them. And when you have a problem, don't be afraid to give them a call. Maybe it's not a problem that even resides within the city, but I guarantee you, I think 90% of local elected officials will get on the phone, just as you said, Bob, and will try to call someone to help their constituent. It is largely a constituent relations and constituent problem solving office with some longer term economic development, tax base, you know, public safety, the parks, all that good stuff. But from an alderman, alderwoman to alderman and woman, it's you're talking to the constituents every day. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, my friend. I wish you nothing but the best.
Well, Maggie, thanks so much. I really appreciate your reaching out, and a lot of good memories. And And I still, a portion of my assembly district still represents part of Milwaukee. So I'm very much involved with things still.
You're gone, but still here. And I look forward to the next time I run into you at Pitches or maybe Miss Katie's Diner. We'll get together. All right. Take care, Representative Bob Donovan. Thanks so much for your time. You're going to want to stick around because I'm bringing on Milwaukee County Board Supervisor Jack Ekblad and political editor Dan Schaefer. We dig into why the Democratic Party, especially on the national scale, is flailing both in terms of membership and fundraising. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, again, it is Free Ticket Friday here on this network, where all day long we let you qualify to win Brewers tickets on all of our Civic Media shows, starting with Pat Kreitlow in the morning. Got Jane and Greg, of course, Todd Alma right before this fine program, and then me, Maggie Dawn, rounding out the day. The word to win this afternoon, and remember, you got to text this word in via the free Civic Media app. Don't text it in the old-fashioned way. That does not count. You have to do it with the app. It's free wherever you get your apps from. The word to win today, or at least to get qualified to win four tickets. Those are club-level tickets. They're amazing. Just to the left of home base, to the Brewers versus the Philadelphia Phillies. Again, somebody explain that damn mascot to me. I do not get it. On September 3rd, that is a Wednesday, a 6:40 game. The word to win today is radio, as in you are listening to the best radio in the nation. Nary the world. I joke, but radio. Yes, radio is the word. R-A-D-I-O. With that, I'm really pumped to have this next conversation with political editor from Civic Media and creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, my friend and colleague, and another one of my friends and colleagues, current Milwaukee County Board Supervisor for District 4, Jack Ekblad. Welcome back to the program, Jack. Dan, you're with me all the time. Great to see you again.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. Always a treat to join you here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pleasure to be here.
Love to have you guys here. And Jack, I see you got your Brewers hat on. You can always watch our program. I got my Brewers gear on. You can always watch us on YouTube or at Maggie Dawn Show on X, Insta, and the Book of Faces if you want to see our faces. I just had on current Republican Assembly person Bob Donovan. He was a longtime City of Milwaukee alderman. Bob is, in my opinion, sort of like the epitome of constituent services. He was very much a guy that was all over his district, walked rain, snow, shine, once a week with a building inspector or someone from the Department of Neighborhood Services would walk his district. He wins elections because people know him. They know how they can get a hold of him. They know who he is. They might not agree with everything, but they're like, yeah, this guy is working for us. He understands us. He's in our community. We're looking at like a massive scale problem for at least the Democratic National Committee, and there's having some knock-on effects within the state party. Party enrollment is down. Donations are down. And I want to talk about this, guys. Like, what do you think's going on there? And I thought it was appropriate to talk to somebody like Bob and then juxtapose that with what is, I think, universally the agreed upon critique of Democrats, which is too far removed, too in the big ideas and not enough in the details, and definitely not super relatable for a lot of people. Which, again, if somebody was like, well, you have a daughter of immigrants who worked really hard and pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and became a public servant, or son of a real estate mogul now claimed billionaire who lives in a golden tower, like, you wouldn't think that there was a relatability problem with the former candidate, but there is. So I want to get into that and what's going on with the party. Dan, do you think some of this is about really getting candidates, not just on the presidential level, but candidates in communities and with the people that they're seeking to represent? In other words, do we have a retail politics problem as well as a messaging problem?
I think there's a host of problems that the Democratic Party is facing right now. And I do think you're right. There is, you know, I think in many ways, the Democratic Party leadership right now is not meeting the moment. But I think sometimes it is the case where it is like, you know, and you'll see this in public opinion polling, like from Marquette and whatnot, where it's just like, I don't like the Democratic brand, but I still like my local representative. So I think there is a fair number of that going on, mm-hmm. like in the polling where, you know, people might not like the Democratic Party. It has like these huge net negatives, but people still like, you know, Tony Evers or Tammy Baldwin or their local representative. So I think, you know, and this kind of shows up when people like disagree about what's happening in Congress. Oh, I dislike Congress, but I like my local congressperson. There right. is a little bit of that going on. But I think the Democratic Party, you know, from the, like an organizational standpoint and from just like where the party is, I want to point to two articles that have been published recently about the Democratic Party. One from the New York Times on August 20th, the headline, "The Democratic Party Faces a Voter Registration Crisis." And then a piece from Politico from August 18th, the headline, "Inside the DNC's Money Problems." So they're having registration problems and they're having money problems. The money problems is that by the end of June, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, had $80 million on hand compared to just $15 million for the DNC. And then the voter registration piece. Now, this doesn't apply to Wisconsin because Wisconsin right. doesn't register by party. But in 30 states that the New York Times tracked here for voter registration by political party, Democrats lost ground to Republicans in every single one of those 30 states between 2020 and 2024. So they are not fundraising as well as maybe they had in the past, and they are not registering voters as well. So it's both, you know, the ground game and the fundraising game that the Democrats are really struggling to meet this moment right now. And I think the first thing you have to do is at least acknowledge that there's a problem.
Right.
And I think that has been a struggle for Democrats as well, to really look themselves in the mirror and say, hey, we need to change course. We need to do things differently. We need to acknowledge that what we're doing isn't working. And so I think, you know, that's the first step, right? To acknowledge that there is a problem. And I think that's what needs to be done right now.
Jack, let me ask you this. Is this simply a, well, the Democrats lost, and so Americans don't ever like to be with losers, right? Is there an element of that? That's question one. And question two is, do you think this is, especially just focusing on the money problems, is this the fact that the donors didn't like who the DNC picked for its chair and would have preferred Ben Wickler? Like, is that a reflection? Because some of this, I think, might be a wee bit of over media hype. Like, of sure. course, there's going to be a down cycle. We know there's a messaging problem. What's your take on this confluence of factors that seem to be all over the headlines these days?
Well, I was joking in the pre-record that I'm glad I'm on transportation committee because I have a whole fleet of buses to throw the DNC under, and I'm very much looking forward to it. I think it's worth revisiting some recent history, right? And I am not a DNC insider. My grandmother sat on the DNC, so my insight to that is probably back from 1992 when I was, you know, still very early in grade school. The reality is the DNC picked not one but two nominees without ever going through a primary. And I give Governor Tony Evers a ton of credit and the state party a ton of credit for being willing to look ourselves in the face and go through what's going to be a messy primary.
Yeah.
I will also say this is the second campaign where Donald Trump has been outspent and won.
Mm-hmm.
And won anyway. And not only did the DNC insiders pick not one but two nominees without an election, they also raised $1 billion in record time, spent all of it, right? Not as intelligently as Donald Trump did. They spent all of it on television ads versus targeted YouTube and digital. Yeah. And guess who made a solid percentage of all that money? DNC insiders. So if I'm a donor and I'm looking at where I'm going to write my check, the DNC is not top of my list anymore because, frankly, those guys just bought their lake houses.
Yeah, that's that sentiment, and what I'm going to call like the anti-consultant sentiment I hear all the time. It has been a particularly, for me, I cannot stand the consultants, and I especially cannot stand the consultants in the state of Wisconsin, and I will trace this back to Walker recalls, Walker versus Barrett part 1, 2, and 3, right? They took the folks that ran the Obama campaign, put them on Barrett's. And I was in an office with one of the folks that was running that campaign. And I said, if you do this, this will not work. Wisconsin is a unique place. And if you take these slicked up messages and you try to speak to people here in this way, it does not work. This is a retail politics state. That is what people respond to. You don't, they actually don't. It's like they want the anti-slick. I mean, you look at Tammy, you look at Tony, these are not people that will, you know, they're just not the slick politician because that's not Wisconsin. Dan, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think the consultant class has a lot of blame to go around for what's happened. And I think it's very interesting. You know, you mentioned Wickler. One of the things that he talked about when he was running for chair of the DNC was wanting to audit the consultant contracts that the DNC had gone through, and surprised he did not win. Maybe a connection there, perhaps. But I think, you know, I think this is part of the problem, right? We see it in Wisconsin too, and we see some of these folks who run campaigns and parachute in from out of state, from, you know, New York or DC or California or whatever it might be, who come to Wisconsin and try to run a playbook that may work for, you know, running against generic Republican or whatever it might be. But there are specific ways that people, I'm thinking of the campaign against Ron Johnson in particular, when, you know, you could have had some things that were specific about the person that Ron Johnson is and specific to the issues that Wisconsin cares about. And I didn't really think that was always the case in that one. So I think there are consultant problems up and down the deck when it comes to what's happening with the Democratic Party. And I think some of the information that we've seen recently is suggesting that they really need to get away from this. And you just have to, like, sometimes it just comes down to a very simple, just be a person. Like, you don't have to have, like, a poll-tested, geo-targeted message to just go talk to people. Just go talk to people. Don't overthink it. I think Democrats are absolutely guilty of overthinking things on many occasions.
Well, can I jump in with one word?
Yeah, please, Jack. Please, of course.
So I think also, like, when we talk about not overthinking it, the issues on a day-to-day level that people are running up against right now are not subtle. Maggie, you and I have talked about the rise in the cost of housing. The rise in the cost of groceries is very real. People are about to get their health care stripped away. You know, this is about day-to-day cost of living. You can connect with it if you walk the street. You don't need a focus group.
Also, I'll just say this. You can connect with it if you're a regular stinking person, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, the candidate pipeline and who gets elevated and for what reason. I mean, to me, the consultants, and I hate to just sort of put it in this stark of a light, you look at what has been ripped out of the Republican Party, courtesy of Donald Trump, and to whatever end, we'll have the policy discussion in a moment. But you look at what has been literally ripped out. When Donald Trump said drain the swamp, I think he actually meant drain the consultancy swamp out of the Republican Party. It replaced them with people who will do and follow my gut instincts. And we're going to see if that experiment worked. Guess what? It did. And so what lesson do Democrats learn from that? I think overmanaged candidates, you see them fail in debates, right? Joe Biden's age was a factor. He was also overmanaged, right? Like, too many facts and figures. You can't keep it simple, stupid, and stick with your primary messages. One of the, and this has been a problem, I think, in the Democratic Party for decades. If you think back, there was this infamous cartoon in Gore Bush 1, okay? And it was a cross-section of the guys' heads, and their heads were divided into four quadrants. And Bush's head, GW's, was divided into, like, frat pranks, you know, like, good beer-drinking games, some other stuff. And then the last quadrant said, keep this space blank, right? Al Gore's head was just filled with, like, EMC squared, all of the stuff, the black box, I invented the internet. It's a visual representation of the thing that we're talking about. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to ask Jack Ekblad and Dan Treat for that when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'll drop that word to win on Free Ticket Friday when we come back again. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday. Whew, we made it. I don't know if India's going to make it, though. Those are some hefty tariffs. Oh, that's a topic for another day. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Free Ticket Friday, where you can enter to win four free tickets to the Brewers versus The Philadelphia Phillies, that game is 6:40 p.m. on Wednesday, September 3rd. The word to win today, you got to text it in via the app. Again, four tickets on the line, Brewers Club level, Civic Media's own tickets. I've sat in them. They're groovy. The word to win, got to text it in via the app, is radio, R-A-D-I-O, radio, as in you're listening to the radio. And with me now on the radio is political editor Dan Schaefer and Jack Ekblad, Milwaukee County Board Supervisor of District 4. We're talking about what ails the Democratic Party these days. We've identified the consultancy class as a big, big, big problem because it overmanages candidates. They don't sound like human beings. They seem removed from their constituents' actual problems. No such problem, it appears, in the MAGA movement. Yeah, Donald Trump basically, consultants? What consultants? I'm just going to do what I think I want to do and say what I want to say. And it has worked extremely well. Well, one of the other things that I am concerned about for Democrats and for folks that, you know, just want a functional, non-authoritarian democracy is that that is a big tent proposition, requires a lot of different people, a lot of different constituencies. Well, liberals and super liberals and super, super progressives appear to put in place almost purity tests for candidates. You have to agree on every single thing. Otherwise, we are going to protest you and not vote for you and tell people to stay home and not vote. I'm looking at you, Representative Ryan Clancy. Shame on you. I think that the consultancy class actually makes that problem worse because they are the messengers of that purity test. This is what ends you up in word salads. We have heard this stuff from Democrats for decades. I think that's part of the turnoff. Jack, let me start with you. Do you see sort of a purity or litmus testing problem for Democrats as well? And how do you think, you're a young elected official, how is that affecting the pipeline and people's willingness to stand up and try to serve and raise their hand?
Well, the purity test is toxic. And you can see that just in terms of its behavior. And I know many young candidates, I can think of a couple off the top of my head, who just have a really difficult time psychologically, win or lose, of dealing with the ecosystem, right? With the Reddit threads and the Facebook comments, all of which is just off the rails. And, you know, the word toxic is a pretty kind way to put it, to be perfectly honest, right? And I think that it comes down to the difference between organizing and advocating. Or being, you know, you're being an advocate or an activist. And also, what's the purpose of a political campaign, right? Is the purpose of a political campaign to shout at people until they either quiet down or surrender? Or is the purpose of a political party of a campaign to meet people where they're at? And I'm solid team meet people where they're at, no matter what. Like that's how a big tent has to be. And it, you know, I find the purity test to be unhelpful, not just from a toxicity standpoint, but also from just a tactics standpoint. Like, we got to win elections. You don't do that by screaming people into quiet.
Yeah, you put it to me well, Jack, when you were on the show last week or the week before. You said, you know, activism in some ways is in part defining who is with you and who is not with you. In other words, it's a separation, right? Because you're saying this is my issue or my constituency and this is it. Organizing is bringing people in who may have differing views on some things, but the most fundamental issues, you know, are you agree that they're a priority and you agree that the direction that you should move. I think that has been the problem. We cannot be all things to all people all the time. And if you try to do that, guess what? Bingo, bango. Go back to point one. You're inauthentic and over-messaged.
Yeah.
Dan, do we have a purity test problem, a litmus test problem in the Democratic Party?
I think so. But I also think that it cuts both ways. I think there are, you know, progressives will put purity tests on certain things and, you know, be very vocal about wanting, you know, people to be a certain way or campaign a certain way or govern a certain way. But I also think it kind of, there is some left punching that happens from more centrist Democrats too. And I think that can be just as problematic when you want to push progressives out from their side of the party as well. And I think, you know, Democrats have to get back to not being in so obsessed with these purity tests from either side of the ideological spectrum, but also to really rebuild that bigger tent and not make it, a place where you're pushing people out of the big tent. You got to make more room for people in that big tent. I'm really fascinated by what Rebecca Cook is doing in her campaign in the 3rd Congressional District right now, where she is, you know, she's been endorsed by the Blue Dogs. She's celebrating that. She's attending these centrist kind of events and conferences, and at the same time campaigning with Bernie Sanders in Wisconsin. And I think you had the way to bring all corners of the Democratic Party together is exactly the approach that she's taking right now. And just, you know, kind of being authentic and saying like, hey, you know, I might not agree with every last thing that Bernie Sanders says. I might not agree with every last thing the Blue Dogs say, but you know what? We are in this together and we have to rebuild the big tent. And that has to include all corners of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and go ahead, Jack, please.
And when the Democrats, just really briefly, when the Democrats were successful in 2020, it was with a bunch of policy positions that Bernie Sanders brought to the table, but that we translated into a broader coalition.
Yes. And I the last thing, and maybe, gentlemen, you'll do this again with me in another week or two, because I want to then translate. These are sort of tactical questions, right? And like message questions. And then the question has to become, okay, we know we need to maybe dial back the consultancy. We got to dial up the authenticity. We got to meet people where they're at. We got to not do purity tests and litmus testing either from the center or from the far left. And then the question is, what are the core platforms? What are the core policies and issues? And how do we respond to Donald Trump's use of crime as this fig leaf to strip rights? We'll have that discussion again. Stick with me, folks. We'll be back on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.